What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Hey, real quick, just to close the book on something you brought up when we were talking about Nick Saban a couple segments ago, Seth, where you were like, wasn't there a mic? We were talking about SEC Media Days and how much great audio and hot takes come out of Media Days in college football. And you had said, man, your favorite one was the one that Mike Gundy had. This was last year. We don't have the audio of it. We probably should have found the audio. Maybe we'll play it tomorrow. But we can do the best of Media Days. But Mike Gundy had a player, Ollie Gordon, who was his star running back last year, who got a DUI with a .11 that he blew, blood alcohol content. And Gundy didn't suspend him. And the rationale behind not suspending him at Big 12 Media Days, when he was asked about it, was, quote, I looked it up on my phone. The legal limit in Oklahoma is 0.08%, and Ollie was like 0.1%. So I looked it up based on body weight, not to get on the legal side of it, but I thought, really, two or three beers or four? I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. I thought, I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life, and, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, you're lucky. You got out light. End quote.
So I'm trying to think about, okay, listen, Mike Gundy. You've been coaching young men for a long, long time. And during that entire period, DUI has been very much a point of emphasis. Like, going back to the 80s is when they really started to, like, focus on, hey, educating people about DUIs. I don't know how are you a head football coach for this long without understanding that, yeah, you can get a DUI if you have a few beers in an hour, even though you don't feel, he's never seen any of the commercials about, like, hey, just because, like, how easy it is to be buzz driving, drunk driving, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, in this day and age where it's easier to get a ride than ever before, you know, there's a jillion ride share things, and you can't use.
And the kids are making the money to do it too.
Thank you. That's what I was just about to say. You can't use, well, he's this poor college kid as an excuse anymore. He's your star running
probably,
back.
Conservatively probably making what, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year.
Ollie Gordon, and, at least. Yeah. And he was the star of their team. Yeah. So that's,
At least. What's the average? Okay, at a big-time school, I think even the offensive linemen, I want to say I saw that Division I offensive linemen on average at big conferences are making about $200,000.
That's what I saw the same report you did then. That's what I've seen too.
Kind of star player is probably making on average, I'm guessing about $1 million a year. Not the super, superstars who are making more, but.
Yeah. Quarterback. I mean, quarterbacks
are making $500,000 a year.
At least. Yeah. Quarterbacks are good quarterbacks. Well, even bad quarterbacks are making four. Carson Beck's making four at Miami. He sucks. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you into the 9 o'clock hour. We went through this little exercise yesterday, impromptu, but I got thinking about it after the show yesterday, Seth. And there's really, we're boiling down the names that can come back here and help the Astros anytime soon. I think there's six guys here that we're talking about, independent of going and making trades. I'm talking about existing Astros, and within the pitching staff, it's Eric Geddy, Javier, and Garcia. And within the everyday lineup, it's Myers, Jordan, and Peña. And you had asked me yesterday about optimism levels with each of these guys coming back, which is very complicated for an Astros fan to – you can't just go by the book of what the injury is when it comes to the optimism level because of all the setbacks and the ups and downs that we've experienced over the last
two years. It's like if you got a diagnosis that you have some kind of disease and the doctor tells you, well, you've got an 80% chance of surviving. You're like, I know that should sound good, but this 1 in 5 chance of dying is the thing I'm fixated on.
The other thing's death, 20% is quite a bit.
I appreciate you putting a positive spin on it.
If I had to, I'm going to count down here. I'm going to start with the ones I'm least optimistic about and go count up to the one I'm most optimistic about. Sixth place on the optimism scale for me is Jake Myers. Mostly because the diagnosis is not a target. It's a, well, it's going to be more than this.
Yeah, at least 3 weeks.
You know what's, more than 3 weeks? Forever. That's more than 3 weeks.
And it's also, set aside everything about the Astros' individual issues, but we're coming off of Christian Harris missing pretty much an entire season with a mysterious calf injury. So when Jake Myers has a mysterious calf strain of some sort, and he's already had one set. You know what it felt like, Sean? Jake Myers leaving right before that game, at the very beginning of that game. Christian Harris, when he tried to come back during training camp, he ended up needing assistance off the field early in a practice up in one of those Ohio practices that they had, if I recall properly.
Yep. So that's number six. Just the thing with him jogging out to center field to take his position before the game even started and coming up lame was jarring to me. And I know that at least right now, I haven't heard anything where it's being framed as an Achilles injury. And yet I sit here and go, would it shock you if there came out a report that Jake Myers has some sort of Achilles issue or
Achilles
tear? Yeah,
tear
like
something right.
Like, yeah, so that's the one I'm least optimistic about. The next one, and I know the latest report from Dana Brown is he has absolutely no pain in the hand, but this Jordan saga has been too much for me. It's just been too much with the setbacks, the fact that it's a repeat injury, that it was he had a hand a couple of years ago, now it's a hand, it was a muscle strain, then a broken bone, and then he's swinging a bat, and then he's not, and Thursday's a big day. He's getting reevaluated on Thursday. Dana Brown had said, quote, I think once that's over, the doctor could potentially clear him to start swinging a bat. As long as Jordan feels good, we're going to try to expedite his return. And so on the one hand, I'm like, ooh, expedite, he'll be back quick. And on the other hand, no pun intended, I'm like, isn't expediting what got us to this spot in the first place?
This is like when UPS tells you, well, it turns, listen, don't worry, we found your package. It's in a hut in the Sahara Desert somewhere, but we'll try to expedite it to you.
Like,
okay,
news.
Great, thanks.
That's great.
We don't know how it got to the Sahara Desert, but that's where it is.
Am I off kilter with you when it comes to the optimism or pessimism on Jordan, or do you feel similarly?
I don't think you are. I guess I was going to try to maybe, you know, split hairs and say it's just the uncertainty of everything. Yeah. Something you said yesterday where I think you said at this point, because Jordan's had these issues in the past, it almost feels like a congenital issue or something.
Yeah.
And that makes it even murkier. Yeah. He's had these issues before, and now this seems to be the worst case version of it that I'm pessimistic about.
This feels
and the fact that it was affecting him before it got to the point that he couldn't play at all. Yeah. It was affecting his play to the point that he was playing the worst he's played in his major league career.
Yeah. So that's if we're counting up, Myers 6, Jordan 5, fourth on the optimism scale would be Luis Garcia, who, because if you've had setbacks, that puts you down the list for me. And Luis Garcia, people don't realize he didn't have Tommy. I mean, some people do, but there are people who don't. Christian Javier had his Tommy John surgery like a year ago and change.
Yeah.
Luis Garcia is 2 years removed. He got his, him and Urquidy got hurt in 2023, not 2024 like Javier did. So Luis Garcia, who was up to 94 miles an hour, but he's going to take a little longer to get back. I feel 50-50 okay that he's going to come back and be able to contribute something to the Astros.
I chalk that all up to Garcia's laid-back nature. He kind of takes everything in stride.
He does.
And, he's just taking this in stride. So when he does come back, though, he'll be 100% ready to go.
Remember how
forged in steel, Sean.
Remember when you and I were at spring training this year, and we spent at least one or two games sitting down along the left field line where the pitchers would come in and out. They would come in from the bullpen at certain points during the game, or they would go back out to the bullpen.
Yeah.
And Luis Garcia, who was still in the early stages of a rehab of his Tommy John, always a smile on his face, man. Just
he seems like the most pleasant person alive.
Not a care.
Remember when
he
came back, when they changed the pitcher rules, the balk rules and everything, to where he was going to have to change
his
windup?
Yeah.
And remember at the very beginning of spring training, they asked him about it. And it sounded like it was just... And he was one of the players that was probably going to be most affected by it
100%.
In Major League Baseball.
Yes.
And it sounded like he was just getting word of this development. Yes. Even though it had been out there for a while, he takes everything in stride.
He does, man. I like it. I like it a lot. So Garcia 4. Javier, I'm letting myself get, against my better judgment, I'm letting myself get really optimistic about Javier based on how seamless He got his Tommy John. I just looked it up on June 5th of last year. I mean, we're barely over 13 months with Javier, and he's throwing reportedly 95 miles an hour, and Dana Brown stated emphatically, and again, I know a lot of things have been stated about all these guys. He said, quote, he is going to help us this year, Javier.
He's going to help us this year. He doesn't have to throw any faster than 95. I mean, he's a 93, 94, 95 mile an hour fastball. Remember, the Invisiball is effective because his 94 mile per hour fastball looks, it has that rising, that optical illusion, rising action effect of a 99 mile per hour fastball.
Yeah.
So I'm more, I'd love to see what his spin rate is now. That's a big key for Javier. It's his spin rate that makes him so effective.
I like that. And the thing about Javier, and I know you've pointed this out several times, is, He can really, you know, if you feel comfortable with five or six guys already in the rotation, Javier is a guy who's been down that road of pitching two or three innings when you need it.
Yeah.
An inning when you need
it.
He's
a reliever slash starter. And one of the big questions has always been, and we still don't really know, is how could he be for a full season as a full-time designated starter?
Yeah.
His best season was when he started off. They ramped him up very, very slowly, and then he was just absolutely brilliant that year. So him coming in as a piggyback guy or either long relief sometimes or as a starter, he's totally comfortable in that role. The other day, Gusto had a good performance. I don't want to bag on Gusto, but when McCullers failed, Gusto comes in, gives you 4 1/3 innings, and he gave a really good performance.
He did.
But I would still feel better about Javier in that situation than Gusto.
Look, Javier, and Eric Geddy's number two on my optimism list just because it's a broken hand. I feel like the comeback from that is going to be fairly normal. We've not heard anything negative about his live BPs he threw in Florida. He's about to come back and throw rehab starts. Of these pitchers, though, the three that could come back and help you, Eric Geddy, Javier, Luis Garcia. I don't have J.P. France on the radar right now. I apologize, but he's just had so many issues with that shoulder. Javier is the one guy that you can say the ceiling on Javier is elite. His 2022 was the only thing that kept him off of all those top fives and all those stats was he didn't throw enough innings. But his ceiling is throwing no hitters in the World Series. You know, like it's... So that's the guy that I'm most excited about. Number one on the optimism list is Peña. Seems like they're taking it the right speed with him. I know there was a misdiagnosis again with him. It was a broken rib, not a contusion. But I'm judging just by his demeanor and all these videos that I'm seeing of him heading to Atlanta for the All-Star game and the footage that we've seen of him actually doing things on the field. Like, he looks pretty fluid right
now. The only thing that gave me a little bit of a pause, and I'm trying not to read too much into it, Brandy noticed it when we were watching the other day, was when Bagwell was talking about Peña doing some fielding work. And Bagwell was talking about how hard it is to make some of those throws that Peña makes when you've got a rib injury and a little bit of an oblique. I don't know if he meant like it's just, in general it's tough because you're using your oblique so much, or if that
Peña
perhaps there might be a little, maybe Bagwell let something slip about an oblique injury that also occurred along with it. It'd be weird because an oblique is usually a strain type action, not a getting hit type of. So I think he was just talking about the whole action
in general. That's what I, boy, that is what I am choosing to believe right now. It was just Bagwell being general.
I think he meant like, yeah, when you're throwing, it's yeah, you've got those hurt ribs, but you're also straining your oblique. That's how I choose to interpret it.
It makes sense. Okay, someone pointing out Ollie Gordon, the running back we were talking about with Oklahoma State, was 20 years old when he got the DUI also.
Oh, so there was an underage drinking element to it also.
Yeah, not enough. Yeah. That'd be great.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's where I understand what Gundy was saying.
Yeah.
It's like anybody that drinks, you know, anybody that drinks is probably, they've made some bad decisions at times in their life when they're driving, and it's, you don't approve of it or whatever. It was Gundy saying that he's done it thousands of times, and then seemingly for the first time in his life learning that, oh yeah, it's actually just a few beers in an hour can get you above the limit. I feel like that's something that you should be aware of as a head coach of a big-time college program.
And using it as a justification for not suspending an underage player who got a DUI also.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing is just talking anecdotally about it, like, why are you talking about this? But using it as the answer to why didn't you suspend this guy who probably should have at least gotten a slap on the wrist. You know, a game, maybe something?
I mean, sure. I mean, sure, the guy killed the guy in a bar fight, but, you know, it can happen to anybody. Realistically, it can happen.
Fights happen. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, there was a Sports Minute by Boomer Esiason earlier in the show. The All-Star Game's coming up tonight. Let the record reflect, Seth Payne and I don't ever want to look at the All-Star Game through this particular lens. Not while we're walking planet Earth. And also, CJ and Micah Parsons are business partners now on a very fun product. On a very fun
product. This is worse than me the other morning when I was the worst I've ever been. Great.
Go find it. It's on video. All right. We'll talk about both those things coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, Seth, I've not heard this yet, but you heard it this morning during the show. Boomer Esiason. Sometimes the Boomer Sports Minute is kind of fun, especially when he does things that ironically reflect the attitude of a boomer.
A boomer. Yeah. And he's, I think he straddles the Gen X slash boomer line. I'm not sure. But
drafted in 1984, I believe. So let's assume he's 22 years old in 1984. Tack on. Yeah, so he's in his early 60s. You know,
boomers were born between 1946 and 1964.
Okay. So he's, yeah, right about there. Right on the edge of boomers. And what are we?
He was born in 1961. So he's a boomer.
What are we, Gen X?
We're Gen X.
Okay,
yeah.
We're Gen X. Gotcha.
As I pointed out yesterday, and I could tell by the responses that some people were like, what the hell are you talking about, Seth? I could tell who the young people were. I said that Gen X and baby boomers don't get enough credit for growing up in a time where when you went to go buy condoms, you had to do it with an in-person cashier who may or may not have known your mother. And I've never been as nervous in my life before any NFL game as I was in having to make that transaction as a young man in a small town where, like, you know, a lot more of the adults know who you are than you knew who they are. And
I just didn't do it. That's why there's so many hot take kids running around the Farmington Valley in Connecticut these days.
Just do it. All right. You didn't overcome your fear.
So Boomer Esiason does the Boomer Sports Minute. Does a few of them during our show. And this particular one, Seth, is about the MLB All-Star Game tonight. Is that right? This is Boomer's view on the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which takes place this evening in Atlanta.
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute. You know, I'm not all that amped up about tonight's All-Star Game in Atlanta. It's become so commercialized and affected by social media that the Midsummer Classic lacks the mystery and excitement of the old days. As a kid, I loved seeing some of my beloved Mets taking part, so I am grateful MLB is finally letting players wear their own team uniforms again. At least we can look back fondly. I'm Boomer Esiason.
On the Boomer scale of 1 to 10, how boomer is that take?
It's not even all that boomer, and it's actually, this is why it caught my ear, is that I agree with him. I 100% agree with him. And yet, I don't want to hear myself talking about it exactly like that. That's where I was conflicted. I'm like, you know what it is? I don't think it's a hot enough take. Because I think he's saying something that's kind of a given, that it isn't what it used to be. None of these all-star games are, but he just sounds like an old man sitting on a porch reflecting on, like, I miss those days.
Yeah.
He sounds more nostalgic about the old days than he does firing off a hot take, potentially irrationally, extreme opinion about it.
I agree with him about the uniforms.
I do too. That's what scared me.
Yeah. Of all the sports where you can get away with you don't have to go shirts and skins. We know base runners and hitters, everybody else is on the other team.
It's a boomer take that I agree with, but it's the way he delivered it almost that bothered me more than anything, because it was, the young people feel the same way, and you can tell by the, TV ratings on the various All-Star games. Nobody likes the new All-Star games and formats. Baseball is the one, though. Baseball is the one that it feels like more of a shame, because it seemed like it should be the one that's most impervious to modern sports affecting it.
Well,
you go in baseball, as in every other sport, people are starting to realize load management matters, and recovering from injuries is paramount, and all of that. It's gonna dampen it.
This whole thing of pitchers getting selected and not going and not pitching was never a thing back in the day. And I think too, back in my day, there was no interleague play. So this was, other than the World Series, this was the only cross pollination of the two leagues.
Yeah.
I think there was a pride back in the 80s and maybe early 90s involved
that's
in American
really
League versus
point.
National League, because the games were different, right?
I think that's huge.
Yeah.
And this is something that millennials and Zoomers really wouldn't understand. Some of the older millennials would understand this. But, interleague play used to be a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Like a huge deal. It just didn't happen. So there was always a mystery about, what exactly is the AL like versus the NL? What are these players? How do they stack up against? And you'd see it in the World Series, and it's obviously changed to an extreme degree over time.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah,
ban interleague play. That's my next boomer take.
It was
ban the DH and ban interleague play.
There were people who, when interleague play became a thing in the late 90s, were very upset about it. They liked the separation of the two leagues. I mean, there's people that like and dislike everything, but that was a big point of contention back in the day when they did that. And now you're right, it's extreme now. Like it used to be in interleague play, you would just play one division on the other side every year, and now it's you play everybody at least once each season.
1997 was when interleague play began.
Yep, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
So that is, we're talking younger millennials that kind of just, would have remembered the days back when interleague play wasn't a thing.
Wasn't a thing, yeah. All right, so do we feel boomer about this? C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons are partnering up as spokesmen, for a brand new product that I believe by my research just dropped yesterday. They're called Jams. They are high protein peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They did a commercial together. Now I'm going to set the scene here because this is audio. The two of them are dressed in astronaut outfits and getting into a rocket ship to potentially go to the moon or some land far, far away.
Yeah.
Here's what the commercial sounds like.
Hey, Micah, you ever think we get here? Not like this. The pressure is different when the whole country's watching. We do this every week. Nah, it's different this time. It's not just about the liftoff. It's about what comes after we get this off the ground. This is pretty crazy, huh? Think they understand what this mission is really all about? Doesn't matter. Once we launch, they will.
Micah, bro, you forgot the Jams.
Now rocket ship takes off. Forgot the Jams, Micah. They're both carrying big boxes of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I haven't seen this yet.
Will you seek it out later?
Well, yes. During the next commercial break. That was awful. Which is fine, because this is what I want out of my athletes when they're in a commercial. They either have to be awful or they have to hit it out of the park. It cannot be in between. I don't want it. Sounded like, see, the only bit of authenticity sounded there, like from either of them, the only time it sounded like it wasn't acting was CJ at the very end.
Yeah.
I think CJ did sound a little bit more comfortable reading the lines than Micah Parsons did. But it was horrible acting by both of them, and I'm okay with that. You either got to be Peyton Manning, or you've got to be who's the worst in the HEB commercials?
Oh, Brock Osweiler.
That's right.
Osweiler was terrible. He's terrible.
I gotta watch it. Maybe does it look better when you're watching?
It's
it
a good. It the commercial pops. Like, it's a good looking commercial. Okay. Yeah. It's not it's not a cheesy. Like, the production value of the commercial is pretty good. It's a brand new product that's dropping in Walmart, I believe. When was the 14th? Was that yesterday? What's today?
Yes, yesterday.
It was
today's
yesterday.
The 15th.
Yeah, today's the 15th. So drop the.
My math skills aren't what they once were, but I believe that makes that yesterday.
I believe 14 plus 1 is 15.
I'm damn near a boomer, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy this product. Jams?
Jams. Yeah, Jams.
Even though, as a Gen Xer, when I hear Jams, I think loud Hawaiian board shorts. From my youth, where a sick set of Jams could get you a lot of popularity.
You want to hear something funny? And I'm going to send you this picture after the show, and then I'll let you decide whether I post it on social media. When I was a senior in high school, me and like seven of my buddies went to Fort Lauderdale for spring break. Why our parents let us do that at 18 years old is beyond me. But we went down there and we partied. We got two rooms at an Econo Lodge, and we partied. And there is a picture that my buddy said. We have all these pictures from that trip. There's a picture of me stumbling into one of the hotel rooms wearing Jams, a tank top with like three beers under one arm, a slice of pizza in my hand, and a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. And I look like I just woke up and put all these things. Like, I look dazed.
The only thing that would have made that more complete is if you were wearing a Big Johnson t-shirt.
I might have been wearing some. Like,
those were big on spring break back
then. They were. I don't know what the t-shirt said, But when we have a group, I have a group text with all these buddies, and anytime I make a stupid comment on the group text about anything, one of them will just send that picture. That's the response. I'm gonna send you the picture. But I had jams, some serious jams, like green and pink and orange jams on in that picture. They were big. In like 1988.
That was the thing. They were board shorts, but they were big and billowy, right? They were almost like, they didn't look like the modern board shorts.
They were pretty tight. They were pretty tight.
Well, yeah, those muscular thighs back in the day.
I did okay back in the day, better than I am now. Someone said Gronk is the worst actor. I think Gronk is just Gronk.
Yeah, but he's a pretty bad actor. Like, I think that every single time I see him on television doing something, I can almost envision the producers and the writers being so excited about having this loose cannon Gronk.
Yeah.
And then he shows up and tries to read lines. And he feels like Sylvester Stallone in Rocky 2.
Rocky 2, yeah. It makes me smile mainly. Yeah.
He can't read the cue cards.
You wasted 4 hours because you can't read.
That's so sad. I forgot that it was that he couldn't read.
He couldn't read. When I wake up in the morning, I splash it on and it makes me smile mainly.
It's really an indictment on the Philadelphia public school system. Yes. No big surprise there.
And CTE. Yeah. Yes.
By the way, talking about younger people not understanding about interleague play and everything, the last time I allowed myself to get furious about a Yankees fan on social media was when some Zoomer said after something about the Astros, this was a Yankees fan, said, Yankees dominated the Astros for decades, but now they act like they're like, no, they, the first time they ever played was 2003.
Yeah, dude.
They're there for decades.
All right, Payne and Pendergast.
And then I had to explain to the kid the whole that they used to be in a different.
Right. The whole NL
league
thing.
Yeah, that was news to him as well.
The whole NL thing. Yeah, that's been that's not been quite as long, 2013. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. July the 15th. Up next, we hit the Boomer All-Star thing. Oh, a great recruiting story by an NFL head coach who I've fallen in love with over the last few days. He went to Texas A&M. Hint, hint. This is great. Seth, I think as a coming from a farm family, you will 100% appreciate this story from Dan Campbell about recruiting UT versus Texas A&M to land him.
Yeah.
You'll appreciate that. We'll do that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop, find out what they've got coming up. Oh, I haven't checked to see what the question of the day is yet. I'll have to. Well, we'll find out together what the question of the day is in just a few minutes here. Payne and Pendergast with you. So this was good. This is Billy Lucci is one of the foremost authority, if not the foremost authority on Aggie sports, particularly football. In basketball, Billy Lucci runs texags.com. Been doing it for decades now. I know was at the very least friends with Dan Campbell when they were both at A&M, if not roommates at A&M with Dan Campbell.
Like, yeah.
Luch was there in that Dan Campbell, Steve McKinney era of Aggie football.
Yeah, Steve McKinney's got some great stories about Dan Campbell, too.
I'll bet.
That, all suitable for air, but I can't remember all of them. If you ever run into Steve McKinney at one of his 27 McDonald's, just yeah. Ask him for a Dan Campbell story.
Give me a good
story.
Like a Big Mac, a fries, a Happy Meal, and a good Dan Campbell story.
Yeah.
Give me a mixed story,
well,
Steve.
The McKinney brothers would go up and visit Dan Campbell on his family's ranch every now and then.
Okay.
And you know, Steve would say, like, oh, well, yeah, it's no... Dan Campbell's whole grew up on a ranch type stuff. Like he grew up on a ranch and did all the ranch stuff and everything. It's not just for social media clicks. It sounded like Steve wasn't as open to doing everything that Dan Campbell was doing on the ranch.
Yeah. That's a good setup for this anecdote that Dan Campbell told Billy Lucci in an interview that they did earlier this week. When Dan Campbell was in high school, he was being recruited, not surprisingly, by both Texas and Texas A&M. He prefaced the story you're about to hear by saying that his dad really wanted him to go to A&M. It's more your vibe. It's more sort of, it's more our kind of people, A&M versus UT. But, Dan Campbell's going to listen.
Yeah.
So this is the story. The person's name that he mentions Bucky. It's not Bucky Richardson. The Bucky that he mentions at the beginning of this story is former Texas recruiting coordinator or football recruiter of some sort, a person named Bucky Godbolt, who had scheduled a home visit to Dan Campbell's house. This was the moment, or this was the instance that Dan Campbell and his family realized probably should go to A&M.
Bucky comes out there, recruiting coordinator, or, came out recruiting me from Texas, and we live out in the middle of nowhere. So I had to give him, you're in the dirt road. You're going to take a left when you see this, yada, yada. You're going to cross the bridge and, all this. And you're writing down what I'm telling you here. And so he gets there and he gets out of his truck. And, of course, mom and dad come out. We got dinner. They made dinner for him. They get out of the house. He gets out of the car and his eyes are, they're like this big. And he's got this look like, what? He goes, man, I've never seen I've never seen a black deer like that, and my dad just, cause I knew what it was immediately. And, my dad just looks at me and drops his head like, and so I know that was already strike one, and it ended up, they were Spanish goats that our neighbors had that had gotten out through the creek bed, and they were on our side of the, fence, but they're just our neighbor's goats, man. They're just Spanish goats. And so my dad, when he said that, it was a downer. And needless to say, RC shows up about 3 weeks later. He knew exactly what they were.
Those great Spanish goats out there.
Those are beautiful Spanish goats you got there, Larry. And he was like, well, those aren't mine. Appreciate that, coach. But those are, he's all in now.
Yeah. Wine and cheese, crowd.
I've never seen a black deer like that. That's as bad as Ross Tucker not knowing the difference a raccoon and a skunk.
Okay.
that's actually not as bad as Ross Tucker.
No.
Ross Tucker not know. There's school children who grow up in the city and have never left the city know the difference between a raccoon and a skunk.
Dude.
If you watch cartoons, you know the difference between a raccoon and a skunk.
Yes.
How the hell does Ross Tucker, Princeton grad, by the way, not know the difference between a raccoon and a skunk? I am way more forgiving of thinking that a black that a Spanish goat might be a black deer than I am of the alternative. Well,
especially
there,
you never know what time of day it is driving up there. You know, you drive up, you're driving down this long driveway up to the ranch is how I envision it.
Yeah.
And you're showing up at dinner time, depending on what time of year it is, the sun, it might be dusk and you can't really see some, you know, black colored creatures over there, that kind of thing.
But it's not like he did, like, didn't know the difference between like an elk and a deer or something.
Yeah,
I would be more. I would say somebody. If, yeah, that's a pretty bad one. I especially compared to R.C. Slocum, obviously, that's going to be the big. I can't get over this that Ross doesn't know the difference between a raccoon and.
I didn't know we were going to circle back to Ross with this, but I'm glad we did. Because that was a travesty.
I can't get it out of my head.
It's a travesty. It really is. It really is a travesty. Dan Campbell, man. I if you haven't watched Quarterback yet, the Netflix series, you're going to come away liking Dan Campbell even more. He's awesome in it. And that story makes me like Dan Campbell even more.
The funniest thing about Dan Campbell is that he comes off so much like just like a big meathead type of dude. And yet, by far, the most public criticism of him has been when he goes with the analytics.
Yeah.
in game situations. He'll go with the analytics and people act like he's being a big dumbhead idiot or a big dumb, meathead idiot.
Yeah.
But no, he's actually going with the analytics there. Just which way do you want it, everybody?
Yeah.
Do you want a bunch of nerds like Mike McDaniel or do you want actual full-grown men? Man's men who also go by the analytics.
Who embrace
you
math.
Just, come on, you can't have it both ways.
Amen. Okay, so Seth, Ben found the Gundy. He found the audio of the quotes that I read of Gundy talking about that DUI situation. We got on that topic because we were talking about SEC media days before. And
yeah.
Seth said that his favorite media day moment was Mike Gundy.
Explaining why he didn't suspend Ollie Gordon after a DUI.
And admitted to having driven after three or four beers thousands of times himself. Yeah. All right, let's see if it sounds any better. When we read the quotes, it was bad. Does it sound any better with Mike Gundy delivering this story?
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08 and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up. And it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light. Because you make a lot of money to play football.
Okay. It does make a lot of money to play football, Ollie Gordon. This isn't the age of NIL when this happened.
I feel like it was the only way I give him a pass on how bad an answer that was that he was trying to make some sense of basically not saying, hey, the reason I didn't suspend him is because he's a really good player. No explanation was going to make sense. So at least he went with the one that tried to probably resonated with a lot of people. And that he says this thing that was like, yeah, look, lots of people have probably made bad decisions. He didn't have to go and admit to that he's made that bad decision thousands of times in his career.
That would have been funny if the AD walked into the press conference after that, walked up to Gundy, and said, Gundy's like, I don't know who the AD is, but like, hey, Bob, what are you here for? Are you here to actually suspend Ollie Gordon? And he's like, no, I'm here to fire you.
Yeah. If anything, he should have. And then he also made, it sounded like he was making a plea to raise the limit on DUI.
On the BAC.
You know, realistically,
limit?
I feel like you should be able to have six beers in an hour and get in a vehicle.
Yeah.
Oh, God, sometimes if you want to go down a rabbit hole, when they first started enforcing a lot of the drinking, because kids, in the 80s, it was a big deal. People used to look at drunk driving almost as something funny that drunks on television shows did.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, got to put Andy in the tank. We caught him driving 97 miles an hour in an old pickup because we were dumb back then. We didn't have all the information. But they did interviews of people about open container laws and everything. And it was all these guys. It's funny to think back. There are guys talking to a television camera saying, I mean, this is America. If I can't have a couple of beers in my truck on the way home from work, I feel like my rights are being stripped and everything. And I'm looking, I'm like, I kind of see where you're coming from.
America.
Kind of get it, buddy.
Well, it was funny when we were in Jamaica. We were in our limo to the hotel. It's like a 2-hour drive from the airport, and it's on one road, one lane each way. And we were told that we would have beer in the car when we got there. Well, there were none in there, but the driver told us that, well, we'll stop somewhere and get some Red Stripe for you guys. I said, okay. And he pulls into like a convenience store, you know, somewhere, you know, 20 minutes outside of Montego Bay. And he comes out with like 6 Red Stripes for me and Amy. And he's got this gigantic Corona, and he gets back in the thing and just starts drinking the Corona while he's driving us. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to tell people how to handle things in their country. I think I was texting Lopez.
Sure were.
I texted their Lopez. I'm like, our driver's drinking a Corona right now.
Their country. Sean, we have drive-up daiquiri bars. I mean, a drive-up daiquiri joint.
A stand.
Where, like, you go and you get something through your window, a frozen drink.
Yeah.
That, unless you live 3 minutes down the road, guess what's happening to that daiquiri?
And I don't know if it's the same way here because I don't drive through them here. But when I was married, in my first marriage, my ex-wife was from Louisiana. We used to go there all the time. Well, they're like drive-through daiquiri places are everywhere in southern Louisiana. Yeah. And as someone from the Northeast, where they're very vigilant against drinking and driving compared to Louisiana, I think everywhere is more vigilant than Louisiana.
Yeah.
When I first visited down there, I was totally taken aback. I'm like, you're allowed to do this? And my ex-wife says, yeah, the law is because they tape the lid to the cup. Mm-hmm. That makes it legal. I'm like, what?
Foolproof plan to keep people from drinking it. Because if there's one thing we know about Louisianans, that most of them struggle with fine motor skill stuff like that.
There's still a straw going in the top of it.
Yeah. But they're already drunk. The chance of them figuring out how to maneuver around that whole scenario is very unlikely.
Yeah.
Real quick, I'm sorry, John.
No, it's fine.
And Reggie. I'm sorry, but Gary Moeller, all time. One of my greatest regrets in life was when I had the opportunity when he was my defensive coordinator for 1 year, and I never got drunk with him. The story of Gary Moeller when he got arrested when he was the head coach at Michigan.
Take me away,
at the University of Michigan. This was the report. He had a dozen rinks at the Excalibur restaurant before they escorted him to the parking lot and called him a cab. He was singing. He was attempting to dance with a few patrons. He was monopolizing the time of the waitresses and overall being loud and obnoxious. Moeller was staggering and swaying in the parking lot before he pushed and punched an officer. That's the way, that's the America I want to live in.
Yeah, that's getting your money's worth. That's efficiency right there. He filled up an entire stat sheet right there.
That is the head coach at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, not for long. Not for long.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast.
By the way, he was making $225,000 a year. I want to talk about how things have changed
big
over
bucks
the
back then.
Over time.
Yeah, big bucks. John Lopez is here. Reggie Adetula is back.
He's back. That was a lot of excitement.
Yeah, man. I am excited to see you. How you doing?
Doing pretty well, man.
Good to have you back. Yeah, good to have you back.
I don't believe you.
By the way, that kind of made-up story, that quote, whatever, that Seth made might have been a direct quote from some of those PSAs back, or some of those news reports back in the day.
Yeah.
Hey, I just have the little paper bag was invented here. For that reason. Remember the little...
Oh, the bag that goes single, around a 40.
Single can.
Yeah. That was a big thing for me when I moved down here from Connecticut in 1994. Mm-hmm. I stop in. I think the convenience stores back then were stop and goes. There were a lot of them along... I lived in West Chase in an apartment, and there were like 6 stop and goes along Westheimer over like a 3-mile stretch. And I remember the first time I walked in, I'm like, what is this big vat full of ice with beers?
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be very tempting on the way home every day, I must say.
I wonder why.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, real quick, it's even his salary at the time was $130,000 a year. Yeah, go ahead and adjust for inflation.
That's mid-90s.
Crazy.
That's like 93, 94.
That's nuts how much it's changed with the salaries of coaches.
Wild. Yeah.
Talk about players all you want. My God.
Yeah. Crazy. Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. What's the question of the day, boys?
Well, I'm assuming you're familiar with one Jazz Chisholm last night. He said, I'm not even going to practice.
Yeah.
What's something you probably should have practiced before you tried it? The one that came to mind for me is way back in the day when I was probably in my early 30s, I decided, you know what? As much as I like the outdoors, I'm going to learn how to surf.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Rented a surfboard and went out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have practiced.
Should have practiced.
The board hit me right in the crotch.
Yeah.
Exactly where you thought it might.
As it does.
Yeah, right in the crotch. And I face planted onto the board.
Yeah.
On my first attempt.
No, I'm with you, John. Surfing is probably maybe the, it might be one of the biggest things in life that looks like it shouldn't be that hard, but is the first time you try it feels like it might actually be impossible.
It was. That was the first and only time I tried it.
I got picked at halftime of a Notre Dame basketball game back in the day, and I knew it was coming. I got picked like 2 days before to shoot free throws at halftime to win Garth Brooks tickets. And I didn't play, you know, high school basketball, but I played Y ball. Like, I don't, my jump shot, I don't look like I don't know how to shoot a basketball.
Right, right.
I definitely should have practiced though. Like, I hadn't shot a free throw in a long, long time. And I think you got to shoot 10 and I made,
they gave you a lot.
Well, it was like, you had to make X amount out of 10, I think is what it was.
Right, right.
I made one. I was one for 10. I definitely should have practiced, cause I would have loved to have gotten those Garth Brooks tickets.
You think?
I love Garth Brooks. Yeah.
I'll tell you the one year at training camp, Dom Capers had the offensive line compete versus the defensive line and, fielding punts. And it was for something, whichever position group, position group that caught the most punts was going to get out of meetings for the evening or something. And man, I wish I had done that once before in my life. My God. The only thing I'm trying to do is like, don't
smother
don't just
it.
Duck away at the last moment. Don't look like I'm scared of the ball. Oh, I was so bad at it. As I'm saying this, I can feel the shame rising up in me.
That's one of the fielding punts, and I'll put fielding fly balls in the same category, is maybe one of the most underrated things in terms of how easy professionals make it look. That is super hard to do if you don't do it on a regular basis.
And especially, I'd mess around in high school and stuff for my high school punter slash defensive end.
Yeah.
But getting it off of the jugs machine on a windy day outside with the sun up, oh my God. Yeah, I don't know how anybody ever catches one.
It's crazy. and add 11 guys running at you while you're trying to do it. You know, that's
mercifully
wild.
I didn't have that.
No. Yep. All right, fellas. Reggie, good to have you back, my friend.
Nice to be back.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys as well.
Yes.
I missed you.
Yeah, it's good. This will be fun. In the loop, back together again.
You're darn
reunited,
right.
And it feels so good. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Oh, antibodies and just be responsible on your drive home today, okay?
I will. I'll be drinking this Power.
What is that in there?
Powerade Zero. Powerade Zero, man. No,
I didn't think you were that excited to see me that you needed to break out.
Sean, can you go ahead and put the six pack in the bed of your pickup truck on the way home, okay? Can I trust you to do that at least?
Yes, I guess so. Right. It is tempting. We got that fridge out there in the common area over
there. Oh, you can't walk 20 feet without getting booze.
In this place. Yeah. It is.
That's one thing Sarah Fraser has done magnificently is like she keeps it 1970s all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It comes to,
in which ways?
Like, if you're just, hey, if you want to start drinking after your show is over at 10 a.m., we've got 19 different options.
We've all started already, so jump in. Yeah. All right. We are done. We are out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.